AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
A Werewolf Shifter Romance audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. The last traces of twilight bled from the sky, leaving the world in shades of charcoal and ink. Inside the gilded mortar, the air was charged with the scent of dried lavender and chamomile, a fragrant armor against the encroaching night. Linnea moved with a quiet economy, her hands stirring the contents of a small pot over a low flame. Not a tonic for a fretful sleeper, not a balm for an aching joint. This was a stew, rich with rabbit and wild root vegetables. Her work for the town was done. This was for someone else. The bell above the door gave a single, lonely chime as she stepped outside. The cool night air was a shock, carrying the damp, loamy breath of the ancient woods bordering her property. The forest did not welcome. It endured. An impenetrable wall of black trunks and oppressive silence. Most townsfolk kept their distance. They whispered of things lost to time, lost to reason. Linnea walked toward it. She stopped at the tree line, a boundary she never crossed, and placed the steaming earthenware bowl on a flat, moss-covered stone. This was the ritual, the arrangement. She retreated precisely 20 paces, her back finding the familiar solid wall of her shop. Then, she waited. A long moment. Nothing. Just the sound of her own breathing. Then a shadow detached itself from other shadows. It moved with a fluid grace that seemed to drink the moonlight, a great wolf with a pelt of liquid silver. It approached the offering, not with the frantic hunger of a stray, but with a deliberate, almost noble caution. As it ate, Linnea's shoulders, tight with a tension she hadn't realized she was holding, relaxed. This was the only connection that felt safe, an exchange with no expectation, no manipulation, no need for the carefully constructed walls she maintained with her own kind. Here, she could simply be a witness. The wolf finished the meal, licked the bowl clean. It then lifted its head and its eyes, not the flat, wild yellow she expected, but the color of polished amber, found hers across the clearing. The gaze held. It held for a moment longer than usual. A flicker of profound, unsettling intelligence passed between them. It felt less like being seen by an animal, and more like being recognized by a soul. A shiver traced its way down her spine, not from the cold. The wolf turned, vanishing back into the black, leaving Linnea alone in the silence. Alone. With the sudden, terrifying feeling that her solitude was about to end. Chapter 1. A quiet morning in the gilded mortar. It was her fortress. Sunbeams, thick with dust, sliced through the dim air, landing on jars filled with dried herbs. Lavender. Chamomile. St. John's wort. Each one a silent soldier in her army of solitude. Linnea moved between them, her fingers tracing the cool glass. She found comfort in the simple order of it all. Her whole life was built on order, on control. Because the last time she'd let chaos in, it had nearly destroyed her. She measured out dried petals onto a small scale, the delicate clink of the brass weights the only sound in the room. This silence wasn't peace. It was a shield. She swept the herbs into a muslin bag, her movements practiced, her thoughts a million miles away. On the forest. On the creature that waited within its shadows. The one secret, wild thing she allowed into her world. Maybe it was fate that led him to her. Or maybe it was just a hungry animal. But she knew better. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't deny what she saw in his eyes. It was more than instinct. It was a knowing, a recognition that both terrified and thrilled her. She found herself by the small stove in the back, stirring a rich stew. Not for her, Never for her. Her heart did a funny little flip-flop in her chest. The smell of rabbit and rosemary filled the small space, a homey scent for a home that only ever held one person. What followed was the ritual, ladling the warm food into a heavy earthenware bowl. She didn't know what scared her more, the fact that she did this every single night, or the fact that she couldn't imagine stopping. The sun dipped below the horizon and the light in the shop turned from gold to a deep, bruised purple. Almost time. Her chest ached with a feeling she refused to name. Not loneliness. Anything but that. It was anticipation. It grew stronger with every heartbeat, pulling her toward the tree line. She took one last look around her fortress of jars and herbs, her safe, quiet, empty world. And she let the longing happen. Chapter 2. Jingle. The sharp, sudden sound of the bell was a stone thrown into a still pond. Linnea flinched, her fortress breached. Still, she pasted on a polite, distant smile before turning around. It was Corbin, the retired town watchman. His face, a kind map of wrinkles, was etched with a familiar concern. In his hands, a straw basket filled with early season apples. Linnea, he said, his voice a low, gentle rumble. Figured I'd drop these off. The missus always said the first apples were best for baking. That's very kind of you, Corbin, she murmured, her body moving on instinct, keeping the wide wooden counter between them. A barrier, a shield. Thank you. He set the basket down, his gaze sweeping over the empty shop. Quiet day? They're all quiet days, she answered, a little too quickly. Corbin just nodded, his eyes soft with a sympathy she didn't want. The town's having a Founder's Day potluck tomorrow night, he said, his voice casual, too casual. There'll be music, dancing. The whole town will be there. It would be good for you to get out. Her smile felt brittle. I'm not much for crowds, Corbin, but thank you. She busied herself wiping down an already spotless section of the counter. Looking at him, at the genuine kindness in his eyes, made her feel like a fraud. She wasn't a gentle, shy healer. She was a ruin pretending to be a house. All right, lass, he sighed. He leaned forward slightly, his voice dropping. Truth be told, I was up near the old ridge yesterday. Saw something strange. Her head snapped up. Strange? Big, he said, his brow furrowed. Bigger than any deer I've ever seen, and it moved so fast, just a flicker of silver through the trees, and it was gone. Her heart stopped. Silver. Her mind flew to the wolf, to the amber eyes. A cold dread washed over her. Someone had seen him. Corbin's story wasn't just gossip. It was a warning, a threat. She forced another smile. Probably just the light playing tricks on you, Corbin. He didn't look convinced. Maybe, he said, his eyes lingering on her for a moment too long. You take care of yourself, Linnea. He left. The bell chimed its lonely farewell. The silence roared back in. She walked to the window, her gaze fixed on the dark, waiting woods. Chapter 3. Jingle. Again. This time, it wasn't Corbin. It was a merchant, Marcus, his smile never quite reaching his eyes. Linnea, he boomed, his voice too loud for the quiet shop. Lovely as ever. A pretty lady like you shouldn't be cooped up in here all day. What do you say we get a drink at the tavern later? Her spine stiffened. I'm busy, Marcus. Thank you. Ah, playing hard to get, he chuckled, leaning on her counter. He smelled of cheap cologne and something sour. I like a woman with spirit. He reached for her.
He watched from the deep shadows of the forest. The world was a symphony of scents. Damp earth, pine, and her. Her scent was everything. Chamomile, rosemary, and something that was purely her. Home. Then a new scent. Sharp. Unpleasant. It came from the man. The man now leaning over her counter. The man touching her. His world tilted. A low growl rumbled deep in his chest. a sound that was not a choice. It was an earthquake starting in his soul. The wolf pressed forward. Every instinct screamed a single undeniable word. Mine. He saw her flinch. He heard the brittle edge in her voice. And just like that, everything changed. The urge to lunge, to tear, to rip the offending hand from her skin was a fire in his blood. He held back by a thread. His claws dug into the soft earth. But he let the sound escape. A low ripple of sound. Girl. A promise.
A sudden chill. It swept through the shop, stealing the air from her lungs. The merchant, Marcus, pulled his hand back, a confused look on his face. Did you feel that? He asked, looking around. But Linnea wasn't looking at him. Her gaze was fixed on the dark wall of trees outside her window. She couldn't see anything, but she felt it. A presence. Intense, possessive, and overwhelmingly familiar. Her heart began to pound a frantic rhythm against her ribs. Something inside her shifted, a strange mix of fear and... Was it safety? Was she being protected? I have to close up, she stammered. The merchant, unnerved, didn't argue. He muttered a quick goodbye and left. In the quiet that followed, her thoughts spun. That feeling? It was the same feeling she got during the nightly ritual. The feeling of being seen. Known. She knew, with a certainty that chilled her to the bone. Her silver wolf was watching. Chapter 4. That night, a storm came. Not a gentle spring rain. A war. Thunder cracked like a whip. Lightning bleached the world white and black. The wind howled, rattling the old windows of her shop, testing the strength of her fortress. Linnea paced the floor. The scent of dried herbs did nothing to calm the frantic beat of her heart. The unease from earlier had coiled into a tight knot of dread. Every flash of lightning made her jump. Every boom of thunder felt like a footstep. Closer. The bell above the door didn't just jingle. It screamed. The door crashed open. A man stumbled in. A silhouette against the raging storm. A giant, drenched from head to toe. Rainwater streamed from him, pooling on her clean wooden floor. His clothes were torn, his hair plastered to his skull. Before she could move, he looked up. Her breath caught. In the flickering lamplight, she saw his eyes. They were the same intelligent, soul-deep amber as her wolf, and they were filled with a torment she had never seen before. A raw, human pain that struck a chord deep inside her. He took a staggering step forward. His face was a mask of agony, streaked with rain. And tears. He was hurt. Badly. Deep down, she knew. A truth her mind refused to accept. The man and the wolf. They were one. Her thoughts spun. Who was he? What did he want? She didn't know what scared her more, the impossible truth staring her in the face or the raw vulnerability she saw there. He looked at her as if he knew her, as if he had been searching for her his entire life. The space between them burned. She stood frozen, unable to speak, unable to breathe. He opened his mouth and a sound, ragged and broken, escaped. It was her name. A whisper. Linnea, Chapter 5. Her name. It hung in the air, a fragile thing against the roaring storm. Time stood still. How? How could he possibly know her name? Who are you? Her voice trembled, barely a whisper. The man swayed on his feet, his amber eyes pleading. They're hunting me, he choked out, each word a struggle. I didn't know where else to go. I was drawn to you. His words were a confusing jumble, a story in tatters. The wounded part of her screamed. Run! It's a trick! He's dangerous! She took a step back, her hand reaching for the heavy pestle on the counter. Her past had taught her that a man with a sad story could be the most dangerous kind of all. Still, another part of her listened. The quiet part that had recognized him. It felt the truth in his pain, a pain so profound it seemed to bleed into the air. Drawn to me? She repeated, her confusion at war with her fear. I don't understand. The bond, he gasped, pressing a hand to his chest. He winced. It's wrong. It hurts. He couldn't finish. A wave of dizziness washed over him. His face paled beneath the dirt and rain. Before she could move, his eyes rolled back. He collapsed. Not with a loud crash. A heavy, final thud. Like a great tree falling in a silent forest. His massive frame lay crumpled on her floor. A fallen giant in her tiny sanctuary. The storm outside raged on. But in the quiet that followed his fall, all Linnea could hear was the frantic pounding of her own blood. She rushed forward, kneeling beside him. His breathing was shallow. His skin, unnaturally cold. His shirt was torn at the collar. Beneath it, she saw something that made her breath catch all over again. A mark. Etched into his skin was a dark, intricate spiral. A design that looked ancient. Almost alive. She had never seen anything like it. It was another question in a night full of them. He was telling the truth. He was in terrible danger. And he had come to her for help. Chapter 6. The silence roared. Outside, the storm was a distant, angry murmur. Inside, the only sound was the stranger's ragged breathing. Linnea stared down at him, at the strong lines of his face now softened by unconsciousness, at the strange, spiraling mark on his skin. Her thoughts spun. She could call Corbin. She could scream for help. She could bring the whole town running to her door. That was the safe thing to do, the sane thing. She had spent years building these walls, building this fortress of solitude. And now the world, in all its wild, impossible danger, was lying on her floor. To open the door to others would be to expose him, and to expose herself. She thought of the merchant, Marcus, and the sudden protective chill. She thought of Corbin's story, a flash of silver in the woods, and she thought of those amber eyes, night after night, looking at her with a silent understanding. She had trusted the wolf. Could she trust the man? Deep down, she knew. They were the same. The man on her floor was the soul she had been feeding, the silent companion to her loneliness, her one secret, her one exception. And he was in trouble. Her fear began to give way to something else, something fierce, protective. Her body moved on instinct. She rose to her feet. She walked to the door, her steps sure and steady. Her hand did not tremble as she reached for the old iron key. She turned it in the lock. Click. The sound echoed in the stillness. The sound of a choice. The sound of a wall coming down. The sound of a fortress. Becoming a sanctuary. She went back to him. She knelt. With a gentle hand, she brushed the wet hair from his forehead. He was burning with fever. She grabbed a blanket from the back room and her medical kit from the shelf. She didn't know who he was or what dangers he brought with him. But in that moment, it didn't matter. He was hers to protect now.
Chapter 7. Come morning, the storm had passed, leaving the world washed clean and quiet. Orion woke slowly, pulled from a deep well of pain. The first thing he felt was the soft scratch of wool against his skin. The first thing he smelled was not the damp forest, but the clean, calming scent of dried herbs. Lavender. And something else. Something that was just her. He opened his eyes and saw her. She was sitting in a chair across the small room, her head slumped in sleep, a book open in her lap. The morning light caught the soft strands of her hair, making them shine. For a moment, he just watched her. A feeling of overwhelming peace settled in his chest. He had found her. After all the running, all the pain, he had found his mate, his.
A small sound startled her awake. Her head snapped up. He was awake. His amber eyes, no longer clouded with pain, were fixed on her with a warmth that made her breath catch. You're awake, she whispered. He pushed himself up slowly, hissing in pain. Thanks to you, he said. His voice a low, rough rumble. You saved me. Who are you? She asked again, the question still hanging between them from the night before. How do you know my name? He looked at her, and the intensity in his gaze made her feel pinned in place. My name is Orion, he said, and I know your name because I've been dreaming of it. I'm a shifter, Linnea, a werewolf, and I'm an empath. I feel things deeply, and I was drawn to you, to your light. Her thoughts spun. A shifter? An empath? It was all impossible. And yet, it was the only thing that made sense. Thank you, he said again, his voice thick with emotion. He took a step toward her, his hand outstretched, a simple gesture of gratitude. Her body moved on instinct. Her own hand rose to meet his. She wanted to feel the warmth of his skin, the reality of the connection that had been a ghost between them for so long. The moment their skin touched, pain, white hot. A silent scream ripped through her mind. It was like being struck by lightning. A violent shockwave of pure agony threw them apart, sending Linnea stumbling back against a shelf of jargon and Orion crying out as he crashed to the floor. On his collarbone, the spiral mark glowed for a second with a pained, angry light before fading. In the stillness that followed, they stared at each other from across the room, their bodies trembling. The space between them burned, not with desire, but with the horrifying reality of their cursed touch. Chapter 8, The Quiet. It was worse than the storm, a heavy, suffocating thing filled with the echo of that silent scream. Orion was on one side of the room, Linnea on the other. The floor between them was a dangerous, empty battlefield, yet the connection was still there. A raw, humming wire she could feel in her bones, a wire that now promised only pain. What was that? She finally whispered. Orion pushed himself up, his face pale with disbelief. I don't know, he stammered. The bond between fated mates? It's supposed to be a blessing, a source of strength, not that. Fated mates. The words sent another shiver through her. So this wasn't random. This was destiny. A broken, painful destiny. She did the only thing she knew how to do. She turned to her books. Her apothecary wasn't just a shop. It was a library. She spent hours poring over old, leather-bound texts, the air filling with the vanilla scent of aging paper, searching for any mention of a painful bond, a cursed touch. Anything. Meanwhile, Orion sat by the window, a silent, brooding statue. He watched her with those intense amber eyes, a deep sadness in them. He began to talk, his voice low. He told her about his pack, about the brutal politics. He spoke of his father, the cold and calculating Alpha, and his brother, Fenrir, whose ambition was a poison. He had been exiled, he explained, for being different, for being an empath. A thing his father saw as a weakness. His story was one of pain and betrayal. No matter how hard she tried to keep her walls up, her heart ached for him. Two broken people, trapped in a room, separated by a curse. The air was charged with things they couldn't say, with a comfort they couldn't give. A strange, non-physical intimacy began to form between them, born from their shared problem. Eventually, her fingers traced a strange passage in a dusty tome. The words were in a dialect she barely recognized, but she could make out a few. Soul bond, mirrored pain, a heart's eclipse. It wasn't an answer, but it was a start. Chapter 9, Knock. Loud, confident. Her heart leaped into her throat. Orion instantly tensed, melting back into the shadows of the storeroom. Linnea! Corbin's familiar voice boomed from the other side. Saw the lights on all night. Everything all right in there? Panic, cold and sharp. What do I say? He'll know I'm lying. He always knows. Knock, knock. More insistent. Linnea, you there? Her body moved. She went to the door, her hand shaking as she unlocked it. She opened it just a crack, trying to block the view of the room behind her. Corbin? She said, her smile feeling like cracking glass. I'm sorry, I was in the back. His kind, wrinkled face was full of concern. He tried to peer past her. Is everything okay, lass? I was worried. The lie came to her lips, tasting like ash. Everything's fine, she said. My cousin showed up late last night, from out of town. He, took ill on the road, so I'm looking after him. She hated it. Lying to Corbin. He had been her only real friend. She saw the flicker of doubt in his eyes. He was a former watchman, after all. He was trained to spot a lie, and hers was a very bad one. Your cousin? He repeated slowly. You've never mentioned a cousin before. A distant one, she said quickly. We're not very close. Her pulse was a frantic drum against her ribs. She was sure he could hear it. Corbin was quiet for a long moment, his gaze sharp and assessing. He didn't believe her, not entirely. Well, he said finally, his voice a little cooler than before. If you need anything, you know where to find me. He left. Linnea leaned her forehead against the cool wood of the door, her eyes squeezed shut. The echo of his voice faded, leaving only the heavy weight of her deception. She had chosen. She had lied. Her little fortress of solitude had just become a prison for two. Chapter 10. In the quiet that followed, a fragile hope began to bloom. The passage she had found, a heart's eclipse. It felt like a key. She spent the next day gathering special herbs from the forest's edge, their leaves shimmering with a faint energy. She believed she could brew a tonic, something to soothe the raw, screaming nerve of their bond. That night, she prepared the ritual. She ground the herbs, the air filling with the clean scent of moss and moonlight. She mixed it with distilled water, the liquid swirling with a soft, promising light. Orion watched from a safe distance, his amber eyes filled with a desperate hope that mirrored her own. Ready? She whispered. He gave a single sharp nod. With a trembling hand, she drank half. It tasted like sweet earth and cold stars. She offered the bowl to him. He drank, for a single, breathtaking moment. Peace. The constant, painful hum of the bond softened to a gentle purr. Relief washed over her, so potent it almost made her weep. But the purr became a growl. The growl became a roar. Without warning, the air crackled. The soft light in the bowl turned a violent, angry red. The bond didn't soothe, it flared. White-hot pain ripped through her, 1,000 times worse than before. A psychic firestorm. Across the room, Orion cried out, clutching his head as he collapsed. The ritual had backfired. It had made everything so much worse. Later, huddled on opposite sides of the room, shivering, Orion finally broke. His voice was a raw whisper. It was never meant to work, he rasped, his face buried in his hands. My father. He tried to perform a ritual on me when I was young. The blood culling. The what? It's a dark ritual, he explained, his words heavy with shame. To sever the bond with a fated mate. To cut them out of your soul. Before you can even meet them. He wanted to choose for me. He failed. But he damaged the bond. Corrupted it. That's why it's like this. That's why it hurts. The truth unraveled, revealing a cruelty deeper than she could have ever imagined. Chapter 11. The brutal truth of Orion's confession hung in the air, heavy and cold as a tombstone. His father hadn't just exiled him. He had tried to mutilate his soul. Before either could speak, a new sound shattered the night, a snarl, low, guttural, and filled with hate, just outside the shop.
Scent. Wolf. Intruder. Wrong. A primal rage, ancient and absolute, surged through him. All the pain from the failed ritual curdled into pure, unthinking fury. The world narrowed to a pulsing red haze. There was only the threat, only the enemy. His wolf pressed forward, hungry for violence. The pain of the bond was a constant shriek in his mind, but the rage was louder. It wanted out, It wanted blood, kill, tear, end.
She saw the change in the span of a breath. Orion's amber eyes glazed over, hard, feral. A deep growl rose in his throat, a sound that was not him. He was losing himself. The man was gone. Only the raw, wounded animal remained. He crouched, muscles coiled tight, ready to launch himself through the door into a fight she knew he couldn't win in this state. He was being consumed. Fear for him, a desperate, clawing fear, ripped through her. Without thinking, she did the one thing she could. She screamed his name. Orion! It wasn't just a shout. It was a command. A raw, powerful sound torn from the deepest part of her soul, imbued with all her fear, all her resolve, all of her connection to him.
Her voice. His name. It cut through the red haze like a bolt of lightning. It didn't just enter his ears. It struck his soul. It hit him with the physical force of an alpha's command, a power he hadn't felt since he'd defied his father. The rage shattered. The red world broke apart, leaving him blinking, gasping back in his own skin. The intruder was still outside, but the beast inside him was silent, humbled, listening. In the quiet that followed, he slowly turned his head, his wide, shocked eyes locked onto hers. Between them, something cracked, not with pain, but with a dawning, impossible power. Chapter 12. The rival wolf was still out there, its impatient snarls cutting through the night. But the rage inside him was gone, replaced by a stunned silence. In its place, he could feel her. A steady, calming presence flowing down the bond, a cool balm on his frayed nerves. He looked at Linnea, and for the first time, he saw not just the gentle healer, but a woman of terrifying, unconscious power. A power that had saved him from himself. He gave her a slight nod. A silent question. Together.
Her heart was still pounding. She felt his shock, his awe, his question. And she answered, not with words, but with a feeling. She pushed a wave of pure, unwavering resolve down the psychic link that connected them. A silent command. Be smart. Orion walked to the door and opened it slowly. He stepped out into the moonlight, not as a raging beast, but as a calm, dominant alpha. The rival wolf, a mangy brute with fear in its eyes, crouched low, surprised.
He let Linnea's calm wash over him, grounding him. He opened his senses. He used his empathy. Beneath the aggression, the other wolf was terrified. He sent you, didn't he? Orion's voice was quiet, but it carried an authority that made the other wolf flinch. My brother Fenrir. He promised you something, but you can smell the desperation on him. He's weak. The rival wolf whined, a low, pathetic sound. It had expected a fight. Not this quiet, cutting judgment that saw right through its bluster. There is no honor in this, Orion continued, his voice steady, fueled by the strength he was drawing from Linnea. Go home. Tell my brother his games are at an end. He didn't need to attack. His quiet confidence, amplified by the silent, powerful partnership he now shared with the woman watching from the doorway, was enough. The other wolf, utterly defeated without a single blow, tucked its tail between its legs and vanished into the darkness. A profound silence. Their first victory. A victory they had achieved together. From a ridge far away, another pair of eyes watched the wolf retreat in disgrace. Fenrir's lips drew back in a snarl. The girl, she was not a weakness. She was a complication. One he would have to deal with directly.
Chapter 13. In the days that followed, the air in the apothecary shifted. The fear was still there, a ghost in the corners of the room. But it was no longer the master. Hope, fragile but fierce, had taken its place. They were not just victims of this curse. They were students. The bond wasn't just a cage. It was a locked door. And she was determined to find the key. The pain happens when we touch, she said one afternoon, her voice thoughtful. Skin to skin. Orion watched her from his chair by the window. An uncontrolled surge of energy, of everything, all at once. So, she said, a new idea sparking. What if it wasn't skin to skin? Before he could speak, she went to the back room. She returned with a pair of her thick leather gardening gloves, worn and stained with earth but strong. A barrier. Her heart pounded as she pulled them on. Then, she held out her gloved hand to him. He saw her offering. His breath hitched. Every instinct screamed at him to pull back, to avoid that searing agony. Yet, in her eyes, he saw not foolishness, but courage. He saw a healer trying to mend the impossible. He trusted her. Slowly, he reached out and took her hand. A jolt, but not agony. It was a powerful, humming thrum of energy. The bond, raw and potent, but muffled, muted, manageable. His eyes widened. "I can feel you," he whispered, his voice thick with awe. "But it doesn't hurt." A slow, brilliant smile spread across Linnea's face. And just like that, everything changed. They spent the rest of the day training, passing simple feelings back and forth through the leather. Calm. Hope. Safety. With every pulse of emotion, the bond became less of a curse and more of a conversation. A secret language only they could speak. They were no longer just a healer and a shifter hiding in a shop. They were becoming a pack of two. Meanwhile, miles away, Corbin walked the edge of the woods. He told himself he was just out for a stroll, but he knew he was investigating. The story about Linnea's cousin didn't sit right. His eyes caught a glint of silver in the dirt near an old oak. He knelt, his fingers brushing away the soil. A locket, small, silver, and cold to the touch. On its surface was an engraving he didn't recognize. A snarling wolf's head inside an intricate spiral. He slipped it into his pocket. Another piece of a puzzle that was growing more dangerous by the day. Chapter 14. A week later, Linnea walked into town. The training with Orion had given her a new quiet confidence. She felt stronger, less alone, which is why the cold wave of hostility that hit her in the market was such a shock. It wasn't one thing. It was 100 small, cruel things. Mrs. Gable, who always bought her lavender sleep sachets, saw her coming and pulled her young son to the other side of the street, her eyes wide with fear. The baker, who usually had a joke for her, suddenly found himself too busy to meet her gaze. Whispers followed her like a cloud of biting insects, her name spoken in hushed, fearful tones. A dark sickness from that shop. Strange lights at night. Corbin said he saw a great beast in the woods near there. Her heart began to pound. This wasn't just gossip. It was targeted. A poison being dripped into the town's ear. Fenrir. He couldn't get to them with claws, so now he was using whispers. He was turning her sanctuary into a cage, using her own neighbors as the bars. The bag of groceries in her arms suddenly felt impossibly heavy. The cheerful market now felt like enemy territory. Every shadow seemed to hold watching eyes. Every quiet conversation seemed to be about her. She fled. Her face burned with shame and a new, cold kind of fear. Fenrir was smarter than she had thought. He wasn't just trying to kill Orion. He was trying to dismantle her entire world piece by piece. First, he had come for Orion's body. Now, he was coming for her reputation. What would he come for next? She had a terrible feeling she was about to find out.
Chapter 15. The moment Linnea burst back through the door, he felt it. A wave of fear and humiliation, so sharp and bitter it made his teeth ache. He was on his feet in an instant. "What is it?" he asked, his voice low. "What happened?" She just stood there, her knuckles white as she clutched a bag of groceries, her eyes wide, her breathing ragged. He could feel her trying to push down the panic, trying to rebuild her walls. "They hate me," she finally whispered, her voice trembling. "The whole town, they're afraid of me. He's turning them against me." He knew who he was. Fenrir. His brother's cruelty knew no bounds. He took a step toward her but stopped. The curse a brutal wall between them. The urge to hold her was a physical ache in his chest. "We'll face it together," he said. his voice more certain than he felt.
His words were a small comfort, but her world was tilting. To ground herself, she went to the back door. She just needed a moment in her garden, her one true sanctuary, a place of life and quiet joy. But when she opened the door, the familiar scent of mint and lavender was gone, replaced by the foul, sickly sweet smell of decay, of rot. Her breath caught. Her garden, her beautiful, thriving garden, was dead. The vibrant green leaves were now black and withered, crumbling into ash as a sick breeze blew through them. The soil was gray and cracked, as if all the life had been violently sucked out of it. This wasn't a natural blight. This was magic. Dark, twisted, and filled with hate. It was a message, a declaration of war. He hadn't just attacked her plants. He had attacked her soul. Orion was there in a heartbeat, his presence a solid wall of fury at her back. He felt her despair, her violation, her rage. In that moment, something inside her shifted. The fear that had plagued her for years. It burned away, replaced by a cold, hard resolve, steel solidifying in her bones. She held a handful of dead, crumbling herbs, the ashes of her peace. The war wasn't coming anymore. It was here. Chapter 16. In the quiet that followed the garden's destruction, the cold resolve in her heart was a small, fragile flame. They were ready for a fight. But the attack, when it came, wasn't one of claws or teeth. It was a whisper, a pressure in the air, a high-pitched whine at the edge of her hearing. A thought slid into her mind, slick and venomous as a snake, a thought that was not her own. You see? You can't even protect your own little garden. So weak. Her breath caught. The voice? It wasn't a voice she heard with her ears, but with her soul. And it was horribly familiar. The same tone, the same cruel condescension as her ex-fiancé, Julian. You're too sensitive, Linnea. You feel too much. That's why you ruin everything.
The moment the psychic attack began on Linnea, the feedback loop slammed into him. It was a pain beyond any physical wound. A scream of agony ripped from his throat as his knees buckled. He crashed to the floor, his body convulsing. Every nerve, on fire. He was completely incapacitated. Worse, he could feel his own agony pouring back into Linnea, feeding her growing despair. He was a living weapon being used against the very person he was trying to protect. His vision blurred. The last thing he saw was the terror in her eyes, a terror that was quickly being replaced by a horrifying, familiar emptiness.
His scream solidified the voice's lies. See, you hurt him just by existing. Your connection is a curse. He's in pain because of you. Her thoughts spun. She tried to fight it, tried to push back, but the whispers were relentless. Perfectly designed to hit every single one of her deepest wounds. The apothecary walls seemed to press in on her, the shadows dancing with old, cruel memories. Fenrir wasn't just attacking her, he was puppeteering the ghost of her abuser. And his ghostly fingers were closing around her throat. Chapter 17. The whispers grew louder, more insistent. They were no longer just thoughts, they were her reality. He would be better off without you. You are a poison, Linnea, a weakness. She looked at Orion, writhing in agony on the floor, and her heart shattered. The voice was right. This was her fault. Her control over their bond, the fragile power she had just begun to understand, crumbled into dust. The calm resolve she once pushed down the link was gone, replaced by a torrent of her manipulated fear, her amplified guilt, her raw self-hatred. She was no longer a partner. She was the source of his pain.
The feedback loop became absolute. Her manufactured despair, his own physical agony, it all swirled into an unbearable psychic storm. His human mind couldn't take it anymore. It was pure, unfiltered torture. No escape. His body moved on instinct, seeking the only refuge it had left. A terrible cracking sound echoed in the room. Bones snapped, reformed. A grotesque, painful dance. This was not the swift, powerful transformation of a shifter in control. This was a desperate, agonizing retreat. A system overload. His human consciousness, the part of him that loved her, was submerged, forced under by a tidal wave of pain. As the last of his human form gave way, the conscious, empathetic link between them snapped.
She watched in horror as the man she was falling in love with contorted in a broken transformation. When it was over, it was not Orion who lay on the floor. It was the wolf. His beautiful silver fur was matted, his body trembling. His amber eyes were no longer filled with warmth, only with a dull, confused animal pain. He was gone. The connection, the humming wire that had connected their souls, was silent. Dead. The whispers in her head cackled with triumph. See? You broke him. You are utterly and completely alone. In the crushing silence, she believed it. She had lost her greatest ally, her only partner. Her world tilted. She was falling into a dark, endless night. Chapter 18. Alone. Truly alone. The unconscious wolf on the floor was just a painful reminder of what she had lost. With their connection severed, there was nothing left to stand between her and the voice in her head. Fenrir's psychic siege had become her entire world. The apothecary melted away. The scents of lavender and chamomile were replaced by the phantom smell of Julian's cologne. The gentle lamplight became the cold, judging glare of his apartment. She was no longer a strong, healing woman. She was that scared, broken girl again, the one who believed every cruel word he ever said. You're worthless. Yes. This is all your fault. Yes. Connection only ever leads to pain. Love is a foolish dream for children. It was always safer to be alone. Yes. 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 Her fight was gone. The hope she had nurtured was a pathetic, childish fantasy. The voice was right. Her ex was right. The only safety was in solitude. The only way to stop hurting people was to have no one to hurt, to lock her heart away in a stone box and throw away the key. This was not a shield. It was a tomb. She curled into a small ball on the floor, her arms wrapped around her knees. The tears wouldn't come. There was nothing left inside her but a vast gray emptiness. She had given up, resigned. The core question of her journey was answered with a bleak, soul-crushing finality. It was safer to be alone. It always had been. The silence roared, a vortex of despair swallowing her whole. But then, as the echo of her own broken thoughts faded, something impossibly small and quiet surfaced from the depths. It was not a thought, it was not a voice, it was a feeling, a single, tiny, pure memory. The faint, phantom sensation of the hum of the bond through a barrier of worn leather. The memory of that first, tentative touch that hadn't hurt, a moment of shared hope, a spark. A tiny, defiant light in an endless, overwhelming darkness. Chapter 19. In the crushing darkness of her own mind, she had given up. The whispers of her past were a roaring hurricane. She was just a broken shell on the floor. It was safer to be alone, better to feel nothing. This was the truth, the end. But then, a memory, not a thought, not a voice, a feeling. A tiny spark in the vast, gray emptiness. The phantom sensation of worn leather against hers. The memory of a single, hopeful touch that hadn't burned. A jolt of energy that was not pain, but connection. The spark clung. It held. And a new thought rose, clear and sharp as a shard of glass. Julian's cruelty. That was real. The pain he caused was real. His voice in my head is a real ghost. She acknowledged the old wound, not as a verdict on her worth, but as a scar. But Orion. Orion is real too. The moment their eyes locked after he woke up, the way he had said her name, the quiet strength in his voice, the shared hope, the shared victory, the love she felt for him, that was also real. In fact, it was more real than the old ghosts. And just like that, everything changed. Fenrir's illusion was powerful. Yes, but it was only an echo, a mimic. It could only use her past against her. It could replay the old pain, the old lies, the old fear. It knew nothing of the new love. It couldn't touch it. It couldn't taint it. The hurricane of whispers began to lose its power. The roar softened to a hiss. The illusion began to fray at the edges. She felt it, a tiny crack in the prison of her mind, a single ray of light. And in that light, she saw the path forward. She would not be a victim of her past. She would be the champion of her future. A fire, hot and defiant, ignited in her chest, burning away the last of the gray ash. She was not broken. She was being forged. Chapter 20. With every heartbeat, the fire in her chest grew stronger. Linnea pushed herself up from the floor. Her movements were no longer weak and defeated. They were filled with a new, sharp purpose. She looked at the unconscious wolf form of Orion, his silver fur catching the first weak rays of dawn. The sight no longer filled her with despair. It filled her with a fierce, unwavering resolve. She would get him back. But how? The psychic siege was still there, a constant venomous pressure. She couldn't fight it with a shield. Fenrir's power was in finding the cracks in her defenses. So, she would have no defenses. She would not build a wall. She would become a floodgate. If the bond was a conduit for pain, it had to be a conduit for everything else, too. For love. For strength. For her. Instead of trying to block the attack, she would do the opposite. She would open herself to it completely and push something so pure, so powerful back down the line that Fenrir's darkness would have no place to hide. A terrifying gamble. It could destroy her, but it was the only way. Her body moved on instinct. She went to the ruins of her garden. There, in one small sheltered corner, a single patch of herbs had survived. Silver-leafed moon petal. A rare herb known to grow only on powerful ley lines. An herb known to amplify latent magic. She had always known it was special. Now she knew why. She gathered the few remaining sprigs, their leaves cool and humming with a quiet energy against her skin. She returned to the main room and knelt on the floor beside Orion. She crushed the herbs in a small ceramic bowl. Their scent, clean and powerful, cut through the lingering stench of dark magic. She was not preparing a healing tonic. She was forging a weapon made of her own heart. Chapter 21. Linnea sat on the floor beside Orion's still form, the bowl of crushed moon petal before her. The whispers of Fenrir's attack still hissed at the edges of her mind. She ignored them. They were gnats buzzing around a lion. She closed her eyes. Rather than bracing for a fight, she let go. She opened the floodgates of her mind, her heart, her soul. She focused inward, past the noise, past the fear, reaching for the tiny, silent thread she knew still connected her to the man trapped inside the wolf, and she called to him, not with a shout, but with a silent, focused beam of pure energy. She took every ounce of her new resolve, every drop of her unwavering love, every memory of their shared hope, and poured it down the bond. A message, clearer than any words. Orion, I'm here. I'm not afraid anymore. Trust me. The scent of the moon petal grew stronger, a clean, sharp fragrance that seemed to push back the darkness. She pushed again, sending a wave of warmth, of safety, of her absolute and total belief in him. Come back to me.
In the restless, pained darkness where the wolf dreamed, something shifted. For days there had been only confusion, a dull, echoing pain, a fog. But then, a light. Not a light he saw, but one he felt. A warmth seeping into his bones, chasing away the gnawing chill. A familiar scent. Herbs and home. And then, a feeling. A voice that wasn't a voice. Home. Safe. Linnea. His wolf instincts, trapped in a loop of pain, began to settle. The primal mind of the beast quieted, and deep within the sleeping animal, a sliver of the man of Orion stirred. A flicker of consciousness answered the call.
She felt it, a faint answering pulse against her own, a tiny flicker of his presence against hers. Weak. So weak. But there. He had heard her. He was fighting. She took a deep, final breath, her eyes still closed. Her fear was gone, replaced by a calm, powerful certainty. She was ready. Let Fenrir come. Chapter 22. She took one final deep breath. She ignored the hissing whispers of Fenrir's attack. They were nothing. She focused on the tiny warm thread that connected her to Orion. She had called to him. He had answered. Now, it was time to bring him home. She didn't brace for impact. She didn't build a wall. She opened the floodgates. She poured her entire being down the bond, a tidal wave. Every ounce of her newfound resolve, every drop of her fierce, defiant love, every memory of hope, every feeling of safety she had ever felt with him. It was a firewall made not of magic, but of pure, unfiltered love. A light so bright it had no room for shadows.
In the dream darkness of the wolf's mind, the gentle warmth became a cleansing fire. It burned away the pain, the confusion, the dark magic that had held him captive. He felt Linnea's love not as an emotion, but as a physical force. A staggering power that filled him to the brim. His own strength surged to meet it. A crack of bone, a surge of triumphant power. He was not just healing, he was becoming whole. He rose from the floor, no longer a wounded animal, but a man reborn. He rose, fully human, his amber eyes blazing with her love.
From his hiding place in the woods, the psychic siege didn't just break, it shattered. The pure, positive energy of their bond slammed back at him, a searing light that burned his mind. He reeled back with a cry of agony. Before he could recover, Orion was there, standing at the edge of the woods. He didn't lunge. He didn't snarl. He just looked at him. Then, he used his empathy as a mirror. He reflected all of Fenrir's own twisted hate, his gnawing jealousy, his vast, pathetic emptiness right back at him. Fenrir was forced to stare into the abyss of his own soul, and it broke him. He screamed. He fled.
Chapter 23. The psychic storm broke. The oppressive, hateful energy vanished. In the profound silence that followed, the only sound was the gentle chirping of crickets outside. The war was over. They had won. He slowly turned from the woods where his brother had disappeared and looked at Linnea. She stood in the doorway, pale and exhausted, her body trembling. But her eyes, they were shining with a strength that took his breath away. She was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. He took a slow step toward her, then another. The space between them, once a minefield of agony, was now just quiet, holy ground. Every instinct yearned to touch her. Yet, he hesitated, the memory of the pain still a ghost in his mind. But when he looked into her eyes, he saw no fear. Only love. Slowly, reverently, he reached out his hand.
Her breath caught. His offered hand, no gloves, no barriers. Her own hand, shaking slightly, rose to meet his. What if it didn't work? What if the pain is still there? She chose to trust. She chose him. Time stood still. The moment their skin touched, nothing, no pain, no shock, no fire, warmth. A gentle, blissful, overwhelming warmth that started in their fingertips and spread like wildfire through their entire bodies. It was the feeling of a soul coming home, a perfect, serene harmony. The bond, finally healed, sang between them, a song of joy, of relief, of a love that had conquered a curse. Tears streamed down both their faces. Without a word, their fingers intertwined, holding on tight. They just stood there in the quiet of her little shop, finally, truly connected. The space between them burned, not with a curse, but with a promise. A beginning. Chapter 24. Weeks later, Linnea knelt in her garden. The sun was warm on her back. The air smelled of damp earth, of mint, of lavender, of life. The sickly gray soil was rich and dark again. New green shoots pushed their way up to the sky, stronger and more vibrant than before. A pair of strong arms wrapped around her waist, and Orion's chin came to rest on her shoulder. His touch was a familiar, comforting warmth she now craved like air. "It's coming back to life," he murmured into her hair. "We brought it back to life," she corrected him, leaning back into his embrace. Her world was no longer a fortress. It was a home. The townspeople, seeing that the strange sickness had lifted, had slowly started to return. Their whispers had turned from fear to curiosity, then back to a shy friendliness. Corbin sat at the small table by the back door, a mug of tea in his hands. He now knew their secret, a trusted friend. "Just got a message," Corbin said, his expression serious. He slid the silver locket across the table. "The snarling wolf is your father's crest, isn't it?" "Well," Fenrir returned, "broken. But your father is not happy. He's gathering his most loyal enforcers. He considers you a threat to his bloodline now, Orion. And you, Linnea?" Corbin looked at her with worried eyes. "He considers you the source of that defiance." The war was not over then. It had just entered a new phase. But as Linnea looked from Corbin's worried face to the love in Orion's amber eyes, she felt no fear. She looked at their joined hands, at her garden, reborn and thriving. She was no longer the scared woman hiding from the world. She was a warrior. She was a healer. She was an alpha's mate. And she was ready for whatever came next. Together. Epilogue. 1 year later. The bell above the door of the Gilded Mortar chimed, not with a lonely echo, but as part of a gentle symphony. The sounds of quiet chatter, the scent of fresh-baked bread mixed with drying herbs, and the warm golden light of late afternoon filled the space that had once been her silent fortress. Now it was a town hub, a sanctuary for all. Linnea smiled warmly at a young mother, handing her a small tin. "This chamomile and lemon balm tea should help with the night terrors," she said, her voice calm and confident. "Just a weak brew before bed. Let me know how it works for him." The mother thanked her profusely, left a few coins on the counter, a counter that was no longer a barrier, but a bridge. Linnea's eyes met Orion's from across the room. He was effortlessly stocking shelves, his presence a solid, comforting warmth that anchored her to this new, beautiful reality. He winked, a silent message of pride passing between them. The bell chimed again, admitting the familiar figure of Corbin. He carried not a basket of apples, but a letter with a broken seal. "Linnea, Orion," he greeted them, his tone serious. He waited until the last customer had left before placing the letter on the counter. "Word from my contact near the Northern Ridge." Orion's easy smile faded. He wrapped a protective arm around Linnea's waist, pulling her close. His touch was a simple, grounding comfort. "My father?" Orion asked. Corbin nodded grimly. "He's made an alliance with the Black River Pack. He's been quiet. Too quiet. He's not a man who forgives, and he certainly hasn't forgotten." A year ago, those words would have sent a shard of ice through Linnea's heart. Now, she simply leaned back against Orion's steady strength. The threat was real, a distant storm cloud on a clear horizon. But it was no longer a terrifying ghost. It was just a problem they would eventually have to face. "Thank you for letting us know, Corbin," she said, her voice even. "We'll be ready." After their friend had left, Orion turned her around in his arms. He gently brushed a stray strand of hair from her face, his touch conveying everything words could not. The cursed touch that had once thrown them apart was now the source of their deepest comfort. "Are you scared?" he murmured, his amber eyes searching hers. Linnea thought for a moment. She thought of the woman who used to hide in this very room, terrified of a knock at the door. She thought of the girl who believed love was a liability. That woman was a stranger to her now. "No," she answered, her voice soft but absolute. She reached up, her hand cupping his jaw, her thumb stroking his skin. The pure, blissful warmth of their fated mate bond was a quiet, healing song that now played constantly beneath the surface of her skin. "Whatever comes, we face it. You and me." He leaned down and kissed her. A slow, tender kiss filled with a year of shared sunrises, quiet conversations, and the simple, miraculous joy of just being able to hold each other. The old, haunting question of her past had been answered. True safety wasn't found in locked rooms or isolated hearts. It was right here, in his arms. A home she had built not from walls, but from the courageous, terrifying, and beautiful risk of love.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content, just like this, waiting for you on our channel. So, why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.